Amen. It's by the blood. Amen. That's good. That's good. I tell you what, it's good. It's good to be here this morning. I'm glad to be here. Back pain and all. I'm glad to be here. I'd rather be here than laying in bed at home. I guarantee you that. Amen. If you'll take your Bibles this morning and turn over to the second book of Kings, I'd like to take a historical account of something that happened in the second book of Kings and see if we can apply it to us today. In the second book of Kings in chapter 5, we're going to see here a story that we're familiar with, that we've probably been taught as young children in Sunday school, if you grew up in church, and if you haven't, then this morning I'd like to share with you this story about the captain Nahum in the Bible and what happened to him and how he got deliverance from an awful, terrible disease of leprosy. And I want to see if we can apply that to our own life, and I appreciate Brother Clint's testimony because this kind of goes right along with the message. It really does. And he's talking about maybe leading them horses to the water and them not wanting to drink or not doing what he wanted them to do for them to be trained what they ought to do. But us being the same way, that the Lord's told us what to do, He showed us how to do it, and we just won't do it. We won't do it. For whatever the reason might be. But this morning, if you'll take your Bible, I'd like to preach a small message of hope and encouragement, and a world of confusion, and difference, and where we have so much information when it comes to religion. We really do. Because of the internet, and the day and age we live in with TV, we have so much information on all different religions, and all different beliefs. It's really easy for someone to just pick and choose some of the things they like, and that appeal to them in their nature, and apply them to their life and account that for their religion. It may not have a name. It may not have a place where it worships, but inside of themselves, they've got something they created that they're holding to for salvation. And this morning, I want to be able to take something, and I want to be able to preach on simple faith. Just simple faith. And the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's the only way. The only way we're going to have any salvation is going to be through Jesus Christ. And I want to say this right here. This ought to be encouraging to those who are saved. You know what? It's just simply faith. And you know, to those who might be lost or not understand the gospel or not have it, I want to bring clearness and truth to you where there's no confusion. It is simply faith. I want to say this. If we go to 2 Kings in chapter 5, I'm going to read some verses to you. I want to read this story to you today, and then I'm going to preach and bring three small things out that might help you or encourage you this morning. And 2 Kings in chapter 5, in verse 1, the Bible says, "Now Nahum, Nahum, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. And he also was a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by company, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, 'Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.' And one went in and told his Lord, saying, 'Thus and thus hath the maid that is of the land of Israel.'" Verse 5. "And the king of Syria said, 'Go to, go, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel.' And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, 'Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And when it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy?" Therefore he considered. Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he does seek a quarrel against me. Verse 8. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes. And he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of his Lord, his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abia and Pharaphar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. Verse 13. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean'?" Verse 14. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the sign or the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. This morning, this will be my text. This will be my text to bring to you the message that I believe the Lord's given me on simple faith. I want to take first notice of the first 7 verses of chapter 5, the problem and the situation that they had. They had a problem here. There was 2 problems. The first problem was Naam. He was a great captain of the king of Syria. Now the king of Syria was the enemy of Israel. And the Lord had told this king, "You go in, and you take these people of Israel, you punish them because they're sinning against the Lord." And the Lord's using him to do this. So Naam comes in under the command of his king, and the Bible says he's a valiant man, a mighty warrior. And he comes in and he does what the Lord's told him to do. And he comes out of Israel, and he has captives. He has taken captives of women and children. And no doubt these children are now their slaves. And there's a small girl and a maid who was serving his wife. And when she understood that Naaman had leprosy, she said to her mistress, she said, "Would that he would go to Israel, and the prophet Israel would cleanse him of leprosy. No doubt this would make his wife happy. No doubt it made Naaman happy. And no doubt when he heard this, he went to the king. And he said to the king, "Hey, king, Syria, I've heard there's a prophet in Israel. I've heard that he can do things and might be able to recover me of my leprosy." So the first problem we see is Naam. He had a problem, a disease he couldn't recover himself from. In fact, nobody could recover himself. No doubt he was a mighty man. He was not poor. He could hire doctors. And he can hire people to help him recover and try all kinds of medicine and things. No doubt he had tried to recover himself, but he couldn't do it.
And then the second problem we see here is that he was sent by the king of Syria to the king of Israel. And he shows up at the king of Israel's doorstep. Now the first time he showed up with an army. Swords. Spears, shields, lots of men, and they were greatly afraid. And they were taken captive. The second time he shows up, Brother Ron, he shows up with a great big caravan, and he said, "Hey, I'm here to be healed." King Israel's like, "What? He's trying to start a fight with me. He's just trying to find a reason to come in and beat us up some more. What am I going to do for him? What can I do? Rent his clothes." No doubt the people in the palace and the people in the courtyard heard and sent out people to let them know, "Hey, the king is upset. Things are going on." Printed it in the newspaper. Elijah got a copy of it and said, "Hey, send word to the king.
Just let him know. Send that man down here that he might know there's a prophet in Israel.
Let me tell you something. The first problem we see is a personal problem that he couldn't recover from. The second problem we see is that it became a problem for all of Israel. Hey, if you can't be recovered, and you were told, they're already been beat up. They've already been taken captive. What more could he do to them? I want to say this right here. First of all, if you'll take your Bibles and turn over to the book of Romans, the book of Romans. We're studying the book of Romans on Wednesday nights. And it's a good book. There's a lot of things to learn out of the book of Romans. Romans in chapter 3, I want to show you one of our most personal problems. One of our most personal problems. And Romans in chapter 3 and verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I want to tell you something. That's a real problem. That's a real problem that you face, Brother Ron, Brother Clint, me. We face a problem of sin. We cannot recover ourselves from it. I don't care how many doctors you got. I don't care how many psychologists you got. I don't care how many preachers you can pack in a room. I don't care about how many priests you can pack in a room. We've got a problem. Sin. The Bible says we've all come short of the glory of God. Turn over another page to Romans in chapter 5. Romans in chapter 5. And verse 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Hey, not only do we have a problem of sin that we've fallen short of the glory of God, but now we've got a problem of death. Death is coming. None of us will escape death unless the Lord comes back. If the Lord comes back and does not tarry, then some of us might have the glory of being transformed into our new body without ever having to meet death. We might cheat death out of that sting. We might cheat death out of His glory to take more if the Lord comes back. But if not, all of us face a day when death. That's something we'll never escape from. I'll tell you something. Nathan had sort of the same problem. He had a disease he couldn't recover from. And let me tell you what, you've got the same problem. You've got a disease of sin that you'll never recover yourself from. But let me tell you something. Maybe you've heard a little maybe, or maybe a preacher, or a tape, or a radio message, or something. Somebody telling you, hey, there's a prophet, there's a man of God, there's a message. You might have heard of Jesus Christ. You might have heard of the blood. You might have heard of salvation. Let me tell you something. We don't have to die to recover from leprosy. There is recovery now. And let me tell you, I want to be the one to tell you, Jesus Christ is the answer. He's died for your sin. You don't have to face death eternally. You can have life everlasting through Jesus Christ, our Savior. I want to tell you something. They faced a problem, and we have the same one. We have death. We have sin. Turn to the book of John. The book of John, real quick. And John, in chapter 14. I'm so glad we got the Bible to tell us what our problem is and then how we can solve it. Amen? John in chapter 14 and verse 6 says this right here. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Hey, Let me tell you something.
What do you think the king felt like when he got the message from Elijah and said, hey, send them all down here. Send them all down here. Let them know there's a prophet in Israel. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is the truth, the way, and the life.
No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. Hey, we got a problem, and we got a solution.
I can tell you, just like the king was told that there's a problem. But let me tell you something. Just knowing that didn't solve the problem.
He knew now. The king told, hey, there's a prophet. I'm telling you, Jesus is the way. But that ain't going to change nothing
unless you do something about it.
That's right. That's good.
Now you know. Now you know. Hey, I've got death and I'm in sin. But there is a way. Don't leave now. Don't leave now. There's another point to the message. Amen. Now, let's go back. Let's go back to 2 Kings in chapter 5. And let's look at a second thing here. Let's look at the solution to the problem. 2 Kings in chapter 5, verse 8. So in verse 8 we see it, the Bible says, and it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him now come to me, and he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel. So Nathan came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent to the messenger. He sent a messenger. He sent a messenger unto him saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again unto thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Nahum was wroth, and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of his Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharphar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. I want to say this right here. The solution to the problem and how it comes by, he wants a great and wonderful solution to a great disastrous problem.
He was looking for a wonderful miracle to be done. He said there's a horrible disease. Maybe he would come out and with great pomp and call a meeting and then stand over me and raise his hands to God and call and say some magical words and I would be healed in front of all these people. Doesn't he know who I am? He was looking for a great big solution to his really big problem. First of all, Elisha didn't even go to the door. He sent a messenger. I want to tell you this morning, I'm a messenger.
Amen.
The Lord's not going to come down this morning and speak to you, but He sent me.
Amen.
He sent me to the door.
Amen.
To say, hey, go to the river
and dip yourself 7 times and you can be recovered.
Amen. Let me tell you what. There's a simple solution to your great big problem. Your great big problem that will destroy you and take you to the devil's hell. This morning, let me tell you, there's a simple solution. It's through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Let me tell you something. Just a messenger. The Lord's already come.
Amen.
He's already come and did the work. The solution has been made. The antidote's here.
Is it too simple? Will you be angry with the Lord
that the solution is just faith in Him?
Maybe you want works.
I want to feel good about what I'm doing. Maybe I need to do something. Let me give you some money. Let me give you some things. Let me do something for it. I want to earn it. I want to feel good that I've done something to deserve it.
No. The messenger said, go and dip yourself in Jordan 7 times. And then he's angry and he says, what?
First of all, he doesn't come and see me. And second of all, he says to go dip myself in this
dirty, nasty water. Aren't the rivers of where I am better than these rivers? He was looking in the wrong direction for the cleansing. It wasn't going to come by the waters that flow through that river. The cleansing of his leprosy wasn't going to come by the cleanliness that came from that water. He's going to have to learn something that all of us need to understand. Our salvation and our wonderful redemption, our glory is salvation comes by obedience to the Word of God. The Word of God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart in righteousness. Let me tell you something. It's by simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's not by the water. It's not the dirty water. It's the obedience to the command.
He had a great big problem. And he wasn't happy with his simple thing. He didn't have to pay to go to the river.
He didn't need to make an appointment to go to the river. He could just walk down there.
Hey, let me tell you something else. He didn't have to go to any special park. He just had to go.
He just had to get there. Hey, what it was me, I would say, Brother Ron, if I had leprosy, and the prophet had sent a messenger and told me to go down to the water, I'd be looking to the nearest boat landing, the nearest place I could get in. I wouldn't be looking for the most popular, or the biggest, or where the most people are going to be, or something to draw other than just simple obedience and faith. I want to say this right here. Let's turn to Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, in chapter 55, let's look at some things here. And let's think about ourselves. Isaiah in chapter 55 and verse 8 and 9. Let's look at what the Lord says. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are high, higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Let me tell you something. We're talking about God. His plan of salvation don't make sense sometimes. How can we do it? How can you do it this way? What does it mean?
Let me tell you something. His ways aren't our ways. And His thoughts are not our thoughts. And if you will, by simple faith, believe, you can have salvation. You don't have to understand. You don't have to understand all the complicated, intricate things. You can just say, you know, or I believe. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that He came and He died and rose again the third day for my salvation, for redemption of my soul. I believe. Isaiah. Let me tell you what. He says, I'm going to tell you something. You need to forget about your own personal religion.
You need to take your personal religion and throw it in the garbage can. You need to take your personal family history and throw it in the garbage can.
You need to take your own belief in your church and the doctrine and all the things that you think you have
and get rid of it.
You ain't got nothing. If you don't have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, all you have is a false foundation. You've got something you're trusting in that ain't even there. And when the storm comes, it's going to wash away. You've got nothing if you aren't trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your family, your friends, your upbringing, your traditions, and maybe even your own understanding.
But that's not what I understand. I don't understand. How can I go walk in this dirty, nasty river and then I'm going to be clean? It don't make sense. It goes against logic and understanding.
Let's look at that. Let's turn over to Proverbs in chapter 3. Proverbs in chapter 3. And verse 5. He says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Verse 6. "And in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Let me tell you, don't lean unto your own understanding. You better get the Bible and get your understanding and your learning from here, and you won't have any problem, because every problem you're going to have is because you came up with it yourself.
Right. Or you're trying to make a hodgepodge. A collage, I think they call it. You take a bunch of pictures and you put them on one board and you got a collage. Well, no, I mean religion is that way. They got a collage of religion.
That's right.
Simple faith. Simple faith. Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23 says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Hey! Don't lean unto your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Trust in what the Bible tells us when it comes to our salvation is by simple faith. I want to say this right here. Let's go back to 2 Kings. In chapter 5. And in 2 Kings in chapter 5, we see here he had the problem and we see the solution he was given for the problem. And lastly of all, I want to show you this. In verse 14, he says this right here. "Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." You know what his solution to the problem was, Brother Ron? Just obeying what he said. If the Elijah would have said, "I want you to turn around 3 times to the left, and I want you to turn around 3 times to the right, and I..." If the Lord told him whatever he wanted to do, that's what he wanted. Now, brethren, I could take you. I could take you to the Old Testament. And I could show you in the law where to cure leprosy, they were to dip it 7 times in the running water. And he showed them right here. You're going to know how to dip yourself 7 times according to the law of the scripture to cure leprosy. That's the only way you're going to get it. And you know what? He was a Gentile. He's a Gentile, Brother Ron. He not only was a Gentile, but he was an enemy of the people of Israel. And the Lord's giving him cleansing. The Lord's going to give him cleansing. Brother Ron, there's probably lepers in Israel. There's probably sinners inside their own camp. The Lord was judging. Let me tell you something. We are sinners. We stand as sinners before a holy and righteous God. He's told us where our salvation comes from. He's told us how we're going to get it, and how we're going to go, and how we're going to achieve it through Jesus Christ. And if you'll have simple faith, don't get mad at the Lord. Don't get mad at the Lord. Let me tell you what. Just because you were taught wrong, gives you no reason to be angry with the messenger. Don't get mad at the preacher. Get right. Hey, you don't have to get mad at the man giving you the message. You don't got to get mad at the messenger. Get mad at yourself. Hey, The message is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Faith in the words that you've heard and obeyed is what's going to save you. Romans in chapter 6. Let's go back to the book of Romans. And in Romans in chapter 6. Romans in chapter 6 and verse 17. The Bible says, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, being then made free from what? Sin! You became the servants of righteousness. Let me tell you something. I told you, your problem was sin and death because of that. He says we've been made free from it. Why? Because we've obeyed from the heart that doctrine. What's that doctrine? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. Turn from your wicked, sinful ways. That's the doctrine he's talking about there. Hey, let's look at this. If we will obey, when we submit ourselves to the Word of God and obey, we have peace in our heart of our salvation. 1 Corinthians in chapter 6. 1 Corinthians in chapter 6. Verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9 says this, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed and ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. And by the Spirit of our God. He says this right here. You're washed. We're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Let me tell you something. When Jesus Christ died, He took that blood to heaven and put it on the mercy seat. I'm still a sinner, Brother Ron. I'm still a fornicator. I'm still an adulterer. I'm still a murderer. I'm still a wicked man before God. And I've been made clean and justified before the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He says we're washed, we've been sanctified, and we've been justified by faith and obedience. Ephesians in chapter 2. Ephesians in chapter 2. And verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Hey, if it was up to you, if it would have been up to Naaman. Now Naaman, you've got to do this law, and this law, and this law, and this law. He didn't have to back to Samaria. He went back. No good. No good to him. Let me tell you something. The Lord gave us a law as a shadow of things to come. But let me tell you something. He had them given sacrifice of those animals and shed the blood for remission of sin. But then He said, no, this is a picture of Jesus Christ who's going to come one time, one sacrifice for all. If you'll believe, Titus in chapter 3. Let's turn to the book of Titus in chapter 3. He tells us why He's washed us. He sanctified us. He justified us. And it was by grace through faith. In Titus in chapter 3 and verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared. That's got to be Jesus Christ. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. Amen. But according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. In these things I will, that thou wilt affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. I want to say this right here. It's by His mercy. It's by His mercy that we have been made at all. It's by His mercy and grace we have salvation. It's by mercy and grace we can stand here, a sinner, wicked and undone before God. But I'm sanctified and I'm justified. Hey, not my own works, but His. Because I believe. I want to say this right here in closing in Matthew. Matthew in chapter 7. Matthew in chapter 7 and verse 24. Wherefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And when the rain descended and the flood came and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Hey, I want to tell you something. Your salvation is in Jesus Christ. He's that rock. He's that foundation. Don't build your religion. Don't build your faith. Don't build nothing but on Jesus Christ. It's got to start with Him. He's got to grow. It's got to come from Him. Because without it, it'll be building on sinking sand. We sing a song about that. Hey, whatever it is you want to believe in, whatever it is you like to have as your religion that makes you feel good and to have all these wonderful things, they're going to count to nothing if it doesn't come founded in Jesus Christ and His mercy and His grace, His sanctification, His glorification, Him and Him alone. Let me tell you something. Simple faith, it'll save you. Simple faith and obedience have saved you. If you're saved, that's what saved you. Simple faith and obedience is a foundation we have believed and put our faith in. And it's what we build upon as far as Jesus Christ goes. I want to ask you this morning, how about you? Have you heard? Have you heard there's a deliverer? Have you heard about Jesus Christ? Do you want to get out of your disease? Do you like it? Maybe you like your disease. Maybe you like your sin. He said something. He said, "Little man, his problem is that he didn't like his disease. He didn't want his disease." We will abhor and we will deplore and want to get away from our wicked and sinful ways. There's a deliverer that will go to Him, and in faith and obedience, He'll save us. But as long as you like it, and as long as you want to stay in it, and as long as you want to enjoy your wicked, sinful ways, never going to get it. You're going to have to want to get out of it and away from it. You're going to have to hate it almost to get it. How about you? Have you believed? Nahum believed. He really did. He wouldn't have packed up all his horses and packed up everybody and made a trip back if he didn't believe. I believe he really believed he was going to be healed. Now, it might not happen the way he thought it was going to happen. But I want to tell you something. You might believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But that didn't heal Nahum. That didn't heal him because he believed.
The devils believe and they tremble. Let me tell you something. It's when he obeyed from the heart and he submitted himself to what he was told, he got salvation and deliverance. Let me tell you something. It's when we obey from the heart that form of doctrine which we have received that we will have salvation. Not just because you know. And not just because you heard. It's because you've obeyed. And there's a difference between knowing and obeying. Amen? I want to ask you this morning, in closing, have you heard? Have you heard? And I want to ask you this. Have you obeyed? Have you obeyed and submitted yourself to the gospel of Jesus Christ? If not, don't delay. Today can be your day of salvation. It don't have to be put off. Ask the Lord to save you. Repent of your wicked ways. Put you under that blood. Let you be dead under that blood and be washed whiter than snow. All you have to do is believe. And in simple faith, obey. Obey the commandment given. Amen. Let's stand for prayer.